You know, I'm very thankful to how the Lord leads in our life. I'm so thankful for that. I think as the day unfolds, it will be very apparent how we are in the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Wow, do we need those fruits in our life. Amen. You know, I'm here. I want to thank all of you live streaming in. And I want to give a real shout out of praise to God. I know, Phil, you're on different timelines than us, but you'll be watching later. But you know, our brother Phil Ping is in Ghana right now, sharing the gospel to multitudes in a Muslim area. And part of what we've been praying as Phil was leaving and gathering together on Wednesday nights and praying together was that God would do something amazing, that he would make a way as a way maker. And in this Muslim community, that people would come to know Christ. And just the other night, as Phil was preaching and others were sharing, over 100 people came forward who've never heard the gospel out of Islam to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise God. Wow, God is faithful. He's going to complete and do what he sets out. Amen. All right, we just have to be, and what we're going to talk today, we just have to be faithful to him. But did you know on September 18th, 1870, an expedition entered the Teton country, which is in Wyoming, and saw the first of over 500 geysers in that area? But this geyser they came across was very unusual. The man Nathaniel Longford, he wrote in his diary this: "It sprouted at regular intervals 9 times during our stay. We gave it the name what? Old Faithful. Well, since that day, multitudes have traveled to Yellowstone National Park. Maybe some of you have actually been to Yellowstone and seen it to watch Old Faithful do its thing. Sprout, you know, that geyser go off and you see Old Faithful. And multitudes have gone there. And it's extremely uncommon to predict the eruption of any geyser. It's very uncommon to know. Yet Old Faithful lives up to its name, erupting every 44 minutes to 2 hours. There's a little timeline between its faithfulness. But it is faithful. It varies only 30 minutes in eruption since the year 2000. Every day. It's so reliable that Yellowstone Park publishes the predicted times that it'll erupt, so we can all, the visitors can all go there to just the right time of day to witness this most faithful event. And that brings us to the next fruit of the Holy Spirit today: faithfulness. How many of you enjoy receiving faithfulness from other people? Yeah? But, you know, when I look at my life, Lord, am I as faithful as you'd want me to be? And I think as we go through, in fact, I know if we're yielding to the Spirit, as we go through these fruits, we see where he is growing us and stretching us in each one of the fruits. Right on? I believe so. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us such faithfulness, such reliability, such predictability that God and others will be able to count on us and trust without question, and even give us the name Old Faithful, whether we're young or older in the Lord. Can you imagine if your brothers and sisters in Christ or God himself said, Old Faithful, come here. Man, I want that. Do you want that? Man. Well, remember, Galatians, the Spirit Walk, comes on the back of our series, Hosea, Wisdom for Our Age. Remember, we saw in Hosea that the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them. And then we wanted to come to Galatians to see what that Spirit Walk looked like. Well, we had a message entitled, and I don't know if you all remember this, you can go back to the Hosea series, but the message was entitled, How Faithful. Y'all remember that one? as we looked at the unfaithfulness of Israel during the time and asked how faithful we actually are in comparison. And we also looked at how faithful does the Lord really want us to be. And then I asked you a question concerning that to bring that into perspective. Do you remember the question? How faithful do you want your spouse to be to you? You remember that question? I said, is it okay if they flirt around? Is it okay if they make eyes at someone else? Is it okay for them to have friends on social media that's not you, that's of the opposite sex? You know, how faithful, to what degree do we want our spouses to be to us? Therefore, how faithful do you believe your heavenly husband wants you to be? Remember that in Hosea? I believe it was an eye-opening question that wiped away some of the downplaying of our perceived faithfulness to the Lord in our life. And the wisdom for those who know that the ways of the Lord are right and that they really, truly, righteously want to walk in them. It was that, remember that wisdom? The wise person will make knowing God the praise and the passion of their life. That led to a faithfulness where the wise person will make loyalty to God the aim of their life. Faithfulness. And to accomplish this, walking in the ways of the Lord and applying these wisdom principles was going to happen by us together in unity and individually walking in the Spirit. That's where we are today. And I pray that through these wisdom principles and seeing the rest of the Word of God in Hosea and seeing what God wants for us in Galatians, that this is where we really are in our attempt through His power, through His strength, to walk in the Spirit. So this morning, let's again define what it means by faithfulness. We really do want to define each one of these fruits. Then we'll give a few examples of that faithfulness. My little Kiwi, he's the faithful one. You know, I give you a little fruit every week just for fun. And then a few things that I hope will help cultivate faithfulness in our life. I want to cultivate faithfulness in my life. And more faith. I hope and pray you do. Lord, today we come before you. And we know that you are a miracle worker. You are the way maker. Lord, we are here because of you. And Lord, we want to walk in your ways, and we know that they're right. But Lord, we don't want to just do it to do it. We want to be who you call us to be out of our love for you, because we are growing in the knowledge of your love for us. I pray that you search our heart and our motives and our actions, that Lord, these fruits that you want to produce in us, your produce, are genuine and real and growing, that we may be your children living the way you would have us live in total pleasure to you and your lights in the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so what is faithfulness? Webster's dictionary says it has a little furry kiwi who never lets you down. Well, you know, really, in a way, that's a true application, but it's not a definition. Actually, when you go to Webster's, it says this: the quality of being faithful. That's really helpful. Oh, man. Just like kindness, using the word you need defined in the definition, remember? Well, as we said before, all of this fruit of the Holy Spirit, we know what it is, and we know when we see it. We know what it is, and we know it when we experience it. So it is with faithfulness, just like so it is with kindness. It's no mystery. We know it when we see it, and we know it when we don't. Though faith, and faithful, different words, can have different meanings and can have different applications in Scripture. Here, right here in Galatians, in this context, as the word used, it has the idea of this. Faithfulness is the quality of unfailing, remaining loyalty to someone or something or some cause. This is the word used here in the fruit. Faithfulness is putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of extenuating circumstances. And it's also it's often the extenuating circumstances that bring about unfaithfulness. To really understand the meaning, for us to really understand the nuances of each fruit, you must understand the context and the meaning of the word used. So let's just take a moment and clarify this. Love is very defined. We saw it with what Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Corinthians gives us more examples of defining what love is. Joy is also unique, as we know it's the joy of our salvation, regardless of circumstances we may be experiencing. And patience, we understand that that is patience with others as God has shown patience towards us. And peace, we get it that we can be at peace with God because being at peace with Him now saved, we have the peace of God regardless of whatever circumstances may come into our life. We understand these things. But when you get to kindness and goodness and faithfulness, it can become a little harder to differentiate. You see, the person with goodness is going to do what is right, but if they possess faithfulness, they will do it all the time and will not be deterred. See, kindness speaks to our conduct, while goodness speaks to our character, and faithfulness speaks to our consistency. You like that? It's conduct, character, and consistency, all rooted and grounded in love for God and love for your neighbor. Wow. If you're not kind, you aren't good, and you will be unfaithful at some point. Because you lack love for God and others with a misplaced love for self. And so all of these fruits intertwine. This is how you see that they intermingle and intertwine with one another, and why God wants to be producing all of these in us simultaneously. You see, it is the faithful man who will be exclusive to his wife only for all of their day, which comes from his goodness and good character. You see, what we see in the Word of God, just like we saw in kindness, what God said about kindness, is that faithfulness is highly prized in heaven, but it is highly prized on earth. So here in this context, as we have seen in Galatians, with what is happening, it's about one anothering. All through Galatians, this is about one anothering. And in the context of one anothering, it means being true to your word, being true to your promises. It means that you are someone who can be counted on, your faithfulness. It can mean being faithful for you to show up for work on time every day in such a way that your employer can trust you to do that. Something as simplistic as in your normal day relationships with others. It can be that you can be thought of faithful, that you're going to do your job when you get there and do it to the best of your ability. To the married couple, it means that tomorrow you won't change your mind and tomorrow you won't trash your vow. It means that because you are faithful, I can count on you to be with me, to love me, to be true to me, even when temptation may come in and be strong, even when times are tough, even as the years take away the beauty of my youth or disease may ravage my body. It means that you keep your word and you keep your commitment. It means to biblically love people consistently and to do them right consistently. It's faithfulness. A faithful person is somebody who can be relied upon to do what is right, somebody to carry out their duties, to keep their word, and do what is commanded and expected of them by God. To boil it down to the bare bones, this is a practical faithfulness that adorns the doctrine of the gospel in living out your life in front of others. Because ultimately, who's faithful? It is God. When you read the gospel and know the gospel in its entirety, there is nothing but faithfulness there. And we can count on the Lord to never let us down. In the context of service to God, faithfulness is paramount. The Galatians to whom Paul wrote, remember, they were beginning to waver. A false gospel was entering into their midst. And they were beginning to waver on their faithfulness to the Lord, and they were definitely wavering on their loyalty to Paul as they were turning to false teachers. How they needed the Spirit fruit of faithfulness now above all others. Look at the importance of faithfulness to the Apostle Paul himself. How did he look at this fruit? Especially when it comes to leadership within the church and in discipleship. He said this: "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I noticed Paul didn't say to loving men, to talented men, the promising man, but faithful men who will doggedly seek to be true to the Word of God, to the will of God, to the cause of Christ. And let's not kid ourselves here. That man should show love. The other workings of the Spirit should be flowing out in him as he leads. But Paul wants him to get this one thing: faithful men, for faithful men will seek to do what God would have them do in all aspects of the fruit. To show exactly the understanding of this, we see it in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. It says, "Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy." Trustworthy. You see, trustworthy, it is the same word translated as faithfulness here in Galatians. The word we have here in Galatians is trustworthiness. Can you be trusted with what God's given you? Trustworthy. No amount of ability, my friends, no amount of your talent can compensate for a lack of faithfulness. Another word for faithfulness here is the word fidelity. Fidelity. And some translations use that word here in Galatians for faithfulness. This word fidelity may remind some of you, raise your hand, you don't, but give me a smile. It may remind some of you of the early days of recorded music back in the 50s. I see some smiles. Remember, back then, way back then in the 50s, recording equipment introduced significant distortion and noise into the audio. And they had a problem back in the 50s when they would record real authentic live music. They would listen to it and it would be all distorted. You would hear all kinds of things in the background. But in the 1940s, going into the 50s, RCA began recording orchestra performances with microphones to produce recordings. And this was a big thing. And here's what they said: "We want to record it so when you hear it, it's as faithful as possible to the live performance." Notice that word they used. As faithful as possible to the live performance. Recordings that drastically reduced all the noise, got rid of all the distortion, made it sound like it was live. And they called it something. High fidelity. Because it was faithful to the original. High fidelity. An example record was from my, like from my grandpa and all his records, the 1812 Overture. And on it, in the 1812 Overture, it says, in brilliant high fidelity, meaning you're going to get this orchestra music as faithful as possible to the true sound. So in the 50s, hi-fi became the common marketing term for music of the highest quality, music of the most faithful quality. And it's interesting that this word is translated fidelity. God wants his people, he wants me and you to live in brilliant high fidelity, to be hi-fi people. Hey, who are you? He's hi-fi. God wants his people to live that way. Hi-fi people with no noise and distortion of sin in their lives. He wants that to be hi-fi before others and in their service to him when it comes to faithfulness. He wants to see high fidelity. And the Holy Spirit can make that happen in our lives to God's glory. Amen? You know, the Bible is filled with examples of such faithful men and women. It's filled with hi-fi people and lo-fi people. In my life, our current board, they're hi-fi men. Many of you here today are hi-fi people. Hi-fi brothers and sisters. I have immediate family who's hi-fi, and I have others who are lo-fi. Some within the body of Christ are lo-fi. Some within your own relationships and in your own families and in your own workplaces, you know the difference between hi-fi and lo-fi. High fidelity. I love how the Bible is filled with these examples so that we can see the truth and the wisdom from God and say, which would I rather be? Who does the Lord want me to be? Who am I right now with Christ and my walk with Christ? Lord, are you revealing in my life these areas where I'm lo-fi? For example, speaking of faithfulness to God, which pours out in relationship with one another, let's not forget that. When you're faithful to God, it will pour out in your relationship. Aren't you pleased with that? That's God's purpose, one of them. Look at Moses, Hebrews 3:12. It says, he was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. It says, Moses was faithful in all his, the Lord's house, as a servant. This, my friends, was God's estimate of Moses. He was faithful in my house. And notice, we are all but servants of God to do what he wants us to do. God has prepared in advance what he's called you individually to do. For Moses, being faithful to God as his servant, think about it, was not always easy, was it? It was often trying and frustrating, we see in the life of Moses. At one point, remember, he was tempted to quit. At another point, he wanted to die, but he did not. Faithfulness has an endurance about it which says, as long as I'm alive, Lord, I will do what you want me to do, Lord. It's a mindset that we must set in place first before the temptation comes to abandon or to be unfaithful. What is our mindset that I will, as long as I'm alive? Whether that's on the backside of a desert in obscurity where you have me now, Moses could have said, or whether it's in the prosperity of the palace where Moses was, or in leading a rebellious mob through a desert as Moses had to do. I will be faithful to you, Lord, in the place you have put me and to the plan that you have made plain to me. I often think that's where it becomes the most difficult and the most challenging. Moses, it says, was faithful in the house of the Lord where God put him and what he had planned for him. We are all in the house of the Lord if you're his. But in the house, you're in different places, and he's called you to do something unique in his house. In this same passage, we see that he was being referred to as Jesus, who was faithful. Do you see Moses there? He's listed as faithful right there with the ultimate perfection of faithfulness, Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? The Spirit's role is to transform us, everyone, into the image of Christ. And we can be faithful as well through his power. Aren't you glad that Jesus was faithful to the plan of God laid out before him? Jesus did not give up, nor did he waver when he was tempted to turn aside by the devil, nor did he quit when he was facing and experiencing his suffering and his persecution for you and for me. But rather, what did he do? He set his face like a flint, and he went to Jerusalem and to his cross on Calvary, which was my cross, which should have been mine to bear. Wow. And because he was faithful, I have a state. And so do you. And so do you. And he is forever faithful towards us and his house, for we are of his house. Just keep reading how he is faithful over his whole house. And that means to you. He will always be faithful to you. Of the many names given to our Lord, this is one that is very special, as they all are. In the final book of the Bible, here's one of the beautiful names. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Revelation 1:5. Are we not so thankful that God is faithful to us, that he is the faithful witness, meaning there is no flaw in him, there is no unfaithfulness in him? The Bible says this in Psalm 36:5, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. He does not give up on you. When you fail him, he does not abandon you. He does not walk away when you let him down. He does not walk away when you so disappointed him. For he is faithful to you. Instead of turning away from you, he is faithful and just to forgive you. Instead of turning away from you, he is faithful to strengthen and protect you. He is faithful to keep all of his promises to us. And he is faithful one day to take you to glory, for he's the only one able to do that, and he will do that. Because he is faithful, we can rely upon him. We can yield to him. We can trust him, and we can submit our wills to him, and he will come in and build his fruit within us. He will transform us. He is faithful. We can rely upon him at all times. And do you not know that you can trust him in every situation? So when you're tempted to be unfaithful to the Lord, you can say, no, I will not buy into lies. I trust God, and his plan for me is better and best. He's faithful to me. You see, that is the kind of people God wants us to be, the kind of people we can be through the Holy Spirit. I want you to know today, you can be this with God. He can do this with you. He's the miracle maker. He can do these miraculous things in us that we cannot do within ourselves. Because I know this, I'm his child. And if you're his child, he wants us to be like him. And if he wants us to be like him and he wants us to represent him to a lost and dying world and to one another, then he has all the ability to give me the power to do just that. Don't you love it? So let me challenge you to faithfulness. In Psalm 37, when compared to the world who does evil. How many of you know the world does a lot of evil? Does wrong and is unfaithful towards God, yet they seem to get ahead. And it's addressed here in Psalm 37. And we are told this in this psalm, don't envy them. They will wither quickly like grass. Don't envy them. They will fade away like green plants. Don't envy them. Instead, the Lord tells us in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Wow. Don't envy them. They're not getting ahead. Stay faithful to me. Trust in me. Keep doing good. Cultivate faithfulness. You see, as you cultivate faithfulness, you must trust him and do good. And notice what it says. You must dwell in the land. You must dwell in the Lord. You must dwell with the Lord. The Bible tells us, stay. When times get tough, don't bolt, don't run. Don't be unfaithful. Don't forsake your obligations when it gets tough. Stay. Don't bolt and run from your marriage vows. Stay and work through it and yield to the Lord. He can repair it. He can make it better. Stay. Don't leave the church because someone hurts your feelings or someone let you down. Don't let others dictate your walk with the Lord. Stay and stay faithful. Dwell in the land. Stay. Don't quit reading your Bibles because you think God didn't come through for you. Don't come to me with looking for a deal. Come to me for love. Stay. Don't quit. Stay. Don't give in to your temptations. Don't run to Lady Folly. Don't run to those temptations. Stay. Trust me. Dwell in the land. Cultivate faithfulness. Stay, God says. How do I cultivate faithfulness? It's right here for us. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. And in verse 5, commit your way to him. There's a way to cultivate faithfulness. Who am I delighting in? Am I delighting in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior? And am I committing my ways to him? Trusting him, as it says? And in your faithfulness, verse 4 through 5, he says he will bless you. He will build your trust in him to be consistent in walking in the right ways of the Lord. He gets the glory. Right here in this chapter is something amazing. You have the wisdom Hosea that we saw. You have the fruit of love. You have the fruit of goodness. And you have the fruit of faithfulness, which brings forth in these verses the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, and patience in verse 7. Who wait on him. And so he's saying, hey, don't envy the world getting ahead. Don't envy that. Wait on the Lord, even if faithfulness brings delayed blessing. And we see that faithfulness is consistency. Faithfulness sticks. It's what clings. You know, during the excavation of Pompeii in the early 19th century, the skeleton, true story, of a Roman soldier in full armor was discovered. Well, romantic historians assumed he remained loyal at his post, while all the other inhabitants of Pompeii were fleeing from the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. So in 1865, Edward John Poynter was so moved by that thought that he did a painting, which became one of the most famous in the Victorian period. It was a painting of a Roman soldier standing in absolute devotion to duty and in total obedience to his orders in the midst of chaos and people fleeing behind him. And he named the painting Faithful Unto Death. Why was Poynter so moved by this thought? I believe faithfulness is seen in degrees by which faithfulness can be measured. And to most of humanity, faithfulness has its limit. And the most inspirational aspects of ultimate faithfulness is when it is not abandoned, even if it means death. And that inspires mankind. When it comes to our Lord, that old question, to what measure does he want us to have his fruit of faithfulness? He says in Revelation 2:10, Jesus speaking to the church of Smyrna, he told them, be faithful until death. Be faithful until death, meaning being faithful all your life until you die. Because the beautiful thing is, when you die, you will never sin again with Christ. You will have your glorified bodies, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Being faithful unto death, meaning being faithful all your life, even if dying is what is required. And we've seen this in the cloud of witnesses who've gone on before us. We see this with our persecuted brothers and sisters throughout the world who will die, if need be, to be faithful to Christ. You know, after serving in India for 8 years with few visible results to show for all his efforts, William Carey, missionary, wrote to his friend John Williams, and he said, pray for us, and here's what he wanted them to pray for, that we will be faithful to the end. Let me encourage you, and I encourage myself, be faithful to God. Be faithful at your post. Like that soldier, with the gifts that God's given you, with the abilities he's given you, and the responsibilities God has sovereignly given to you, be faithful to him and be faithful to one another. This includes everything in your relationships with the Lord and with others. You may stumble along the way. How many of you know that to be true? You may fail at times, but God says, don't quit. Don't let up. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Don't let Satan discourage you. I am always ready to help you and restore you, God says, and I will do that if you will come and let me. God is always ready to start over. Aren't you thankful about that with your Lord? He is always ready to meet us in our unfaithfulness, in his faithfulness, to forgive us, restore us, and start leading us in faithfulness. And he will do that time and time again. And you too can realize that, yes, with Christ, I can be faithful to the end. But that word until in Revelation 2:10 is also the same word as unto. Not only do we need to be faithful until, but it may come a day where it's unto. Being faithful unto death is being faithful not only to the end, but to the nth degree is the meaning. And we have to say, Lord, I want this fruit in me. Faithful no matter the cost, no matter what. The NIV interprets it this way, be faithful even to the point of death. Which really means God just wants us to have faithfulness to him for all the days of our life. He knows where he's bringing us. Psalm 78:8 tells us this, that Israel was a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. You see, they did not cultivate faithfulness by delighting themselves in the Lord and committing their ways to him. You see, the spirit fruit of faithfulness is not just going through the motions. It has nothing to do about religion. It's not about just going through the motions and doing your duty. But it's about loving God and fearing him from the heart that cultivates faithfulness and is putting all of our faith and trust in him and doing good and staying at it until death or unto death because of love for God. It has nothing to do with just duty for duty's sake. Duty is the result of our love, and there's no other choice but to want to serve him with all our heart. Faithfulness. As we close up, you know, in Luke 22:28, we read of one of the finest things that Jesus ever said about his apostles. He said, you are those who have stood by me in my trial after so many had fallen away. You know, when all the smoke of this world clears, let's be people whom Jesus will say, you have stood by me. And then he will tell you what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, David, a man after God's own heart, said this after so much failure. I have chosen the faithful way. I shall run the way of your commandment. He got it. He understood. I want to do the same. Do you want to do the same? This is so liberating. This isn't consuming. It's liberating. Think about dwelling in God's house and cultivating faithfulness. Remember how we are just to be faithful to what God has called us to do? We're just to be faithful to Him, consistent in being faithful towards others from a character of goodness. It frees you, and it frees me, the believer, from the fear of failure and the compulsion to succeed and to put the world's requirements on us. I just have to be who God's called me to be. We are simply called to be faithful in the place God has placed you, with the gifts that He has given you and the abilities that He has sovereignly blessed you with, and that is all. You don't have to be what the world says is success. On this basis, the most obscure, the most unknown believer who is faithful at his or her post with the gifts and the ability that God has given them will share equally with the Apostle Paul, equally with Spurgeon, equally with D.L. Moody, equally with Moses in heaven. They'll share equally in the blessings and pleasure that gave God to see you do what He's called you to do. And that liberates. There we have it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. And so it kind of goes like this as the praise team comes up. Through your love for God and your love for others, with the joy of your salvation, experiencing the peace with God and of God, demonstrating His patience with you towards them, benefiting them through your acts of kindness from a character of goodness and moral excellence, as they and the Lord are pleased with your consistency of faithfulness in all things. Can we not let the fruit live that way in our life? Lord, I thank you for your faith. I praise you, Lord, that when I let you down, when I fail you, you are never unfaithful. I thank you, Lord, that you challenge us to rise above, to go further, to look in every aspect of our life, that, Lord, faithfulness is what you want from us, a consistency of goodness, a consistency of following you, no matter what we're facing. No matter what trial, no matter what temptation or hardship or sorrow may come our way, Lord, I pray for everyone here today that Satan will not sift them in their life where he can have victory and make them or tempt them into being unfaithful. I pray for our marriages and our relationships, our parenting, our children, our one anothering. Lord, that we love you and love each other, that we extend this patience and kindness and goodness towards one another. That, Lord, we bask in the joy of our salvation as we live with the peace of you, since we're at peace with you because of your faithfulness to go to the cross. And, Lord, as we look at these next fruits of gentleness and self-control, then, Lord, through the fruits of the Spirit, as they are complete, let us allow you to produce your produce in our lives. We praise you, Jesus, and we give you great glory. And may we walk in faithfulness to you and to one another. In your name we pray. Amen.